Another story that I'll tell here, again, and I want to tell you in case you're thinking, God, I feel sorry for her kids at the subject of all of her talks. It's a good concern to have. It's a concern that I have, and I don't use any stories with Ellen and Charlie that I haven't vetted with Ellen and Charlie. So I'll say, can I use this as an example in my work? And they'll say yes or no. So it's something that I'm very mindful of. In this day where a lot of parents are blogging and tweeting and Facebooking and sharing stories, I think it's really important to be mindful about what stories belong to us and what stories belong to our kids. And especially with the permanent nature of the internet, to not be sharing stories that belong to our children that they may or may not want as a part of the public record. But this is another story that Ellen said I could share. You know, maybe this is a great story to kind of fold up the first three guideposts that we've talked about already, shame, vulnerability, and perfectionism. And maybe this is kind of a story where they all come together. Ellen was swimming on a swim team, and I picked her up from practice one day, and she got in the car, and she shut the door and burst into tears. And I said, God, what's going on, Ellen? Is everything okay? And she said that her coach was going to make her swim the 100 breaststroke in the next meet. And Ellen said, I can't do it. I don't get breaststroke. And if you're listening and you are a swimmer, you'll know exactly what that looks like. If you weren't a swimmer, I can tell you that breaststroke is one of those strokes where your arms and legs are doing weird things at different times, and it just doesn't even propel you forward until you get it, until one day the stroke kind of comes together and it works and you move forward. But up until that point, it's a very awkward stroke. So Ellen said, I can't swim breaststroke, and 100 yards, Mom, I'm going to be in the water when kids are finished getting out. I am not going to be done. And so immediately this ignites a shame thing for me. The shame gremlin that's been asleep in me since I was on swim team in her age wakes up, and I have a shame response to this visual of her not finishing this race, you know, being still in the water while other kids are climbing out. And so my first response is, I want to say, you know what? You're not swimming that if you don't want to swim it. I understand exactly what that's like, and that's, you're not going to swim it. But I know enough about shame resilience to not say anything, because when I'm in shame, I go back to that place of, you know, being small and being afraid, not a good place to work from, especially with children within earshot. So I say, well, I'm trying to breathe through this. Let me think about that. So we get home, and Ellen goes upstairs and, you know, changes into her clothes, and her dad's home, and I said, here's the deal. Ellen has to swim the 100 breast, and Steve goes, oh, God, you know, because he knows exactly that she doesn't swim breaststroke yet, and she's just learning. And I said, she doesn't want to swim it, and I'm in a total shame place about it. I'm thinking, I don't want her to go through what I had to go through in some of those moments. And he said, well, let's talk about this first before we weigh in. And so he said, you know what? We really like the coach. And I said, we do. I respect him a lot. Steve said, maybe this is an opportunity where we tell her, if you don't want to swim, you have to take it up with your coach. He's calling the shots. And I said, that sounds right. And so we go down. We tell her that. The next day, pick her up from swim team. She gets in the car. She's crying. I talked to the coach. I told him I wasn't ready and I didn't want to do it. He said, we're doing it anyway. We get home. Another conversation with Dad. At this point, we're sitting at our little red kitchen table, and she folds her arms on the table and puts her head down, and she said, maybe I can just scratch the event. And that means not show up when her heat's called, and that's, I guess, a way to get out of it. And I said, you can. And then I look at her, and I'm thinking about perfectionism, and I'm thinking about why it's so scary. And I said, Ellen, what is your big fear? And she said, I'm not going to win. I'm not even going to get first or second place. I'm not going to get third place. And I said, what if, instead of first place being winning for this race, what if showing up and getting wet is victory for you? What if we change what winning means? And winning is having the courage to show up and swim this race like your coach is asking you to do. It's not scratching the event and giving it your best shot and just getting wet. And she said, so I'll have won if I swim it? And I said, yeah. And her dad goes, absolutely. That's victory. When you're scared to do something and you're pretty sure you're going to suck at doing it, showing up and doing it is victory. So the meet comes and they call her heat and we make sure we're not with her. So we give her the option to scratch the heat if that's what she feels like doing. But she shows up and we look up. She's putting her goggles on. She's staying on the block. Her dad and I are staying there. Of course, honest parent to parent, I feel like I'm going to die. The natatorium is packed. Everyone's watching. The gun goes off. She dives in. She has finished probably about 60 yards of the race when every other swimmer is out of the pool. They're climbing out. They're getting out. They've got the next heat coming up to the blocks, and Ellen's still in the pool swimming. Her dad and I are cheering like she's Michael Phelps. Like this is the big thing. She finishes. She gets out. She walks by her coach. He says something to her. She walks up to us, tells she's crying a little bit. And I say, "You okay?" And she said, "That was horrible." And I said, "That was really hard, but I'm really proud of you." And she said, "I'm proud of me too, because that was horrible, but that was brave." And I think I just want to grow up and be her, maybe. You know, maybe I just want to grow up and be brave enough to show up for things that I'm not good at. And I think as parents, if we look at our own lives and we think about perfectionism, that it's really easy to get to a place in our lives where we don't do anything that's scary anymore. We don't do anything that we're not pretty sure that we can pull off. And so at the end of these first three really big guideposts on shame, vulnerability, and perfectionism, what I want to drive home for you and for me and for all of us trying to make this journey of wholeheartedness together is the power of creating a family where we all feel safe showing up and letting ourselves be seen. And as parents, we're in the unique position, a position that no one else has in our children's life, to look at them and say, "I see you." When we create a family environment where we can show up and be seen, when our children know in their hearts they can show up and be seen, when our worthiness is not on the table, even when we make mistakes, even when we fail, even when we come face to face with the shame gremlins, when we create that kind of environment, what we're doing is fostering what we need the most from families, and that is love and belonging. And I have definitions for both love and belonging. I want to share them as we wrap up this session. Here's how I define love, and I want you to think about it not only in the context of your partner, if you've got a partner, but also thinking about your children and thinking about the relationship they have with you and maybe even with their siblings. We cultivate love when we allow our most vulnerable and powerful selves to be deeply seen and known, and when we honor the spiritual connection that grows from the offering with trust, respect, kindness, and affection. Love is not something we give or get. It's something that we nurture and grow. A connection that can only be cultivated between two people when it exists within each one of them. We can only love others as much as we love ourselves. Shame, blame, disrespect, betrayal, and the withholding of affection damage the roots from which love grows. Love can only survive these injuries if they are acknowledged, healed, and rare. One of the most controversial parenting statements that I think I make across the board is this: I don't believe that we can love our children more than we love ourselves. I just don't believe that we have that to offer. And so it goes back to this theme that we've been talking about throughout the session of, we're on a journey at the same time they're on a journey. And sometimes they pull out way ahead of us, and sometimes we look at them and say, "Wait up, I'm learning how to do this." And sometimes we're ahead of them, but we don't forsake our journey for theirs, because in doing that, we're not handing them anything of value. What I want to leave with, before we move to the next session, I want to leave with some thoughts about belonging. First, the definition. Belonging is the innate human desire to be a part of something larger than us. Because this yearning is so primal, we often try to acquire it by fitting in and by seeking approval, which are not only hollow substitutes for belonging, but often barriers to it. Because true belonging only happens when we present our authentic, imperfect selves to the world, our sense of belonging can never be greater than our level of self-acceptance. In addition to cultivating love, I think maybe the most important mission for our families is to create a sense of belonging for our children. What I think is so powerful about the research is that when I try to figure out what is the barrier to belonging, what emerged as the primary barrier is fitting in. Fitting in is about assessing a situation and acclimating. Who do I need to become in order to believe that I'm accepted here? Belonging, on the other hand, is showing up, being real, being authentic, and letting ourselves be seen. I want to share a little story with you about an experience I had working with a group of middle schoolers that sparked some really new thinking in me. I gave 8 groups of middle schoolers big tablets, you know, those post-it notes that are poster size, and asked them to help me understand the difference between fitting in and belonging. Well, of course, middle schoolers get this right off the bat, and they were very quick with their definitions. You know, belonging is being somewhere where people want you to be. Fitting in is, you know, trying to work your way into somewhere where you want to be, but maybe they don't want you. In our discussion that followed this exercise, I heard something that I have since heard over and over from kids, and it was this. A child raised his hand and said, "Miss," which is something they always call you when you go into schools, "Miss, it's really hard not belonging at school, but nothing hurts like not belonging at home." And over again, I have heard about the pain that we feel when we believe we don't belong at home. And if you're thinking, what does that look like? How does that work? It goes back to these 3 concepts of shame and vulnerability and perfectionism. It means, have we created a space in our families where our kids know that they belong? Where there are no prerequisites for worthiness. You don't have to hustle here for me to believe you're worthy of loving. You don't have to perform here for me to think that you belong here. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to get a certain grade on your test. You don't have to hit so many home runs. You belong here. And one of the things that we try to do in our family often, and we're going to talk a little bit about this more in session 2, is we try to set up a situation through conversations, through the way we behave with each other and with our kids, where the message is loud and clear. You belong here. Always. You don't just belong in this family, you are this family. So as we move into this next session, I'd like for you to take these pieces with you on shame and vulnerability and perfectionism, the importance of love and belonging. And then what we're going to do in the next session is really look at some very concrete choices we can make as parents to start to cultivate wholeheartedness. I'm looking forward to it.